I'd like to try to preach to us if the Lord had come by and helped me. It's so good to be with you in the house of God. And I felt like the Lord dealt with me earlier today. I'd like to read to you from the book of Acts chapter 9 if you have your Bibles. Acts chapter 9. Would you turn there together with me? Acts the 9th chapter. Good to have one of my sons with me here tonight. And a young lady from West Ashbury Church of God, Sister Ashley Thompson. Yeah, that's right. She's nodding her head. She's grinning. And it's good to have Stephen with us. Those of you that didn't know, he had a terrible accident just before Christmas. And man, it was just horrendous. Awful. I never even say the word horrendous. That's how bad it was. It was terrible. But God in His mercy spared him. He's here with us tonight. I appreciate him for coming, being with us here in this service. Acts chapter 9, we'll begin with verse 36. Now, this is something God dealt with me about some time ago, and this was not meant to be. I didn't feel like it started out as being something I was going to preach to other people. But God got to dealing with me about this. I found this in one of my private times, just me and the Lord. You know, I was just reading through some things and doing my private devotion, and God led me to this. He began to speak to my heart and deal with me about some things. And so after I prayed about it and sought the Lord about it, I felt like it'd be good if I share it with somebody right here tonight. So let's get in here and see if the Lord will speak to us and help us. Acts the 9th chapter, we'll begin with verse 36. Luke writes, "Now there was at Joppa a certain disciple named Tabitha, which by interpretation is called Dorcas. This woman was full of good works and alms deeds which she did. And it came to pass in those days that she was sick and died, whom when they had washed, they laid her in an upper chamber. And forasmuch as Lydda was nigh to Joppa, and the disciples had heard that Peter was there, they sent unto him two men, desiring him that he would not delay to come to them. Then Peter arose and went with them. When he was come, they brought him into the upper chamber, and all the widows stood by him weeping, and showing the coats and garments which Dorcas made while she was with them. But Peter put them all forth and kneeled down and prayed, and turning him to the body, said, Tabitha, arise. And she opened her eyes, and when she saw Peter, she sat up. And he gave her his hand and lifted her up. And when he had called the saints and widows, presented her alive. And it was known throughout all Joppa, and many believed in the Lord. And it came to pass that he tarried many days in Joppa, with one Simon, a tanner." Man, what a story. A certain disciple named Tabitha over at the church at Joppa that got sick and died. I don't know why bad things happen to such good people sometimes. It almost gives me the impression that this death was sudden. It came upon her quickly. It looked like nobody was expecting her to die. It was just one of them things that happened. The Bible said something very interesting about Tabitha, or Dorcas as she was called. The scripture said in verse 36 that she was full of good works and alms deeds, which she did. Praise God. She was a good woman. We're going to pray and I'll let you sit down. The Bible said that when she died, they sent for Peter. And when Peter showed up, Peter found the widows standing by weeping and showing the coats and the garments which Dorcas made while she was with them. She left an empty place in her church when she left here. And God got to dealing with me about this. And this is going to be very elementary, just about this cornfield, flat-footed preaching, about as plain as it can get. I asked myself, God began to deal with me, and I started asking myself when I seen the reaction of Dorcas's church when she left this world, I asked myself, what are they going to say about you? How Are the people you've ministered to and with and around going to react when it's your time to go? Come on, say amen. And so that's what I'd like to preach to you here tonight. What are we going to say about you? What are they going to say when you leave this world? Would you lift your hands and pray and ask the Lord to help us here tonight? Father, I love you. I praise you. I thank you for mercy. I thank you for great grace.
We thank you, God.
Help us here tonight, God. Be a blessing to this congregation. Move among us, God. Do that work that only you can do. Have your divine way. We'll praise you and bless you for what's accomplished. Walk among us, O God. In Jesus' name, speak to hearts and change lives. We'll praise you for it. We'll thank you for it. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. When I read through this, God began to deal with me, and it was pretty evident. Man, I can tell you real quiet here tonight. That's good, because I feel like preaching if the Lord will help me. She was a great woman, no doubt, by the reaction of the saints of God at Joppa when it was her time to leave this world, and she breathed her last breath and entered over into the glory world. The reaction of the saints at Joppa let me know that Dorcas must have been a great woman. A woman so great in her community that those who knew her could not bear to lose her to death. I'm telling you, they got worked up and they began to mourn and they began to weep. And they began to reminisce about the great woman that she was. How that she was full of good works and alms deeds which she did. And no doubt many began to think in their mind, how is the church at Joppa going to continue on without a woman like Dorcas? How is this congregation going to continue to function without somebody like her? Amen. Helping us and a working in this church. Amen. Now I thought about that, and I thought, you know, she was known for her deeds. In reality, we're all going to be remembered for our deeds, how we was, how we treated one another, how we talked to one another, how our temperament was. If we're easy, set off, easy, aggravated, that's what we're going to be remembered for. If we're easy to lose our temper, that's what we're going to be remembered for. If we're quick to give somebody a piece of our mind, that's what we will be remembered for. But if we're long-suffering, if we're meek, if we're humble, if we're compassionate, that's what we'll be remembered for. Can you say amen? She was known for her deeds. Hallelujah. Hey, can I preach to us that what she was on the inside was real? And what you are on the inside will work its way through to the outside. Amen. Unlike, amen, Ananias and Sapphira, she wasn't just going through the motions for a pretense. She wasn't putting on a show to try and make herself look better than other people in the congregation at Joppa. She was simply being who Christ had made her to be. She had become a vessel that the Spirit of God could flow through in various different ways. It does not say about Dorcas that she was always the one speaking in tongues. It did not say she was always the one, amen, bringing forth the interpretation. Amen. It simply said she was full of good works and alms deeds which she did. Come on now. Hey, can I tell you, everybody in this building, amen, has a high mark to measure up to if we're going to live a life like Dorcas lived. Can you say amen? Everybody in this place has a high mark to meet. Amen. If we're going to do it like Dorcas done it. Amen. Dorcas was a great Christian. I feel like I can say that on the authority of the Word of God. Amen. By what little bit Luke had to say about her. She was a great Christian. But you know what's so wonderful about this? You and I can be great Christians. You and I can make a difference in somebody's life. Amen. Listen, we don't have to just come and take up space. We don't have to just come and be takers and never be givers. Amen. But we can add something to the quality of the church. We can add something, amen, to the cream of the congregation. congregation. Amen. We can actually be a blessing in somebody else's life. That's right. Man, when Dorcas left here, they was weeping. They brought out the things, the garments and things that she had made with her own hands. And they begin to reminisce and they begin to mourn the loss of that good woman around the house of God. Come on now. Hey, when I consider that, I ask myself, Curtis Teague, what are you going to be remembered for? What are people going to say about you? Hey, you see, I don't feel like it's enough, amen, just to be remembered as something in the abstract, somebody in the abstract. You know, I'm talking about I'm not comfortable with just being remembered as somebody who did a little missions work in Africa. Come on now. Amen. I'd like for somebody to be able to stand over me and look down when I'm the guest of honor at the funeral home and say, he changed my life. He touched me. Come on now. God used him as a vessel, amen, to change something inside of me. Amen. I'd like for somebody to be able to say, amen, he was genuine. He was real. Come on now. Hey, I'd like for somebody, amen, to be able to look down on me and without reservation say, I'm rejoicing because he's in heaven tonight. I'm rejoicing. Amen. Because as the tree falls, so shall it lay. Come on now. I'm rejoicing. Because his works have followed him. He left a good testimony behind. How about you? What are they going to say about you when you leave this world? I've visited some churches that, unlike Joppa, when people left, certain people left, it was their time to go. There was probably absolutely nothing good that very many people at all had to say about, come on, don't look at me like that. You know what I'm talking about. You've seen them. Amen. You've watched her. You've been there when she was the guest of honor. Grumpy old grouch. Never could say anything good about anybody. Amen. Always stirring up strife and causing trouble in the house of God. Come on. Fact of the matter was, the congregation was saying, good riddance. We're glad she's gone. Come on now. Hey, I don't want it to be that way. Amen. Listen, if I get old, if God tarries, if the rapture tarries, and I become an old man, amen, I want to grow old gracefully. Amen. I don't want to be a know-it-all. Come on now. Amen. I don't want to be the kind of man that it's my way or no way at all. Are you going to help me while I preach to you? Amen. I'd like to grow old gracefully in the kingdom of God and be a blessing to somebody. Wouldn't you? What are they going to say about you? Hardly ever seen him. He'd show up at Christmas and Easter. He might slide through, amen, once or twice a month. I hope he made it. Come on now. I don't want to leave that kind of testimony behind. What are they going to say about you? Amen. The clerk going to be able to say, always paid his tithe. Always was faithful and given to the kingdom of God. Will the pastor be able to say, every work day, I needed somebody to help me. He was always there. Amen. Will the pastor's wife be able to say, anything I ask her to do? Amen. She never grumbled, never complained. Amen. But just took hold of the plow and went ahead and done it. Come on here. Hey, I'm trying to be as evangelistic as possible here tonight. I'd like to preach to us. What are they going to say about you? I know some, amen, if they leave this world before I do, the nice things that I'll have to say is probably something like this. Boy, don't he look good in a suit. Oh, don't you laugh. You've been there, ain't you? That's about all you had good to say. She looks so natural laying there. Come on now. It almost looks like she's smiling. You said it, ain't you? If you ain't said it, you've sure enough thought it. Come on, say amen. And in your mind, you're thinking, scoundrel. Never could get them to the house of God. wouldn't serve the Lord, refused to live right, wouldn't call on God. I'd get in a pulpit Sunday after Sunday, plead with her, hide to pray. I'd fast days on end to try to get God to shake him and stir him. He never would come to the altar. Come on, you're going to help me right here. Amen. They'd come play the hypocrite. You know, a hypocrite is an actor on a stage just playing a part. It's a character. Come on now. They'd come shout on Sunday. Amen. Wouldn't be there midweek service. Never come to one prayer meeting. Amen. If the yard needed mowing, there's a first and out the door. Never would volunteer to help do anything around the house of God. Just take. And never give. Come on now. I was trying to pastor a guy one time, and he was fascinated with horses. He loved horses. He was from out west. I was pastoring down in Florida, and that guy, he was so easy to get mad. He'd get mad in Sunday school and leave. He'd sling gravels, leaving the parking lot. And I watched him do that. He'd get mad in the church service. He'd get up, make a big scene, stomp out and leave, slam the door behind him. I had all that. I was just a young man, never had pastored a church, and I was trying to discern. How in the world am I supposed to handle this? And one Sunday morning, I was not teaching the Sunday school class. Somebody else was teaching, but I was attending. And something was said. I don't even know what it was. That guy's blood pressure went up. He got up, gathered up his things, stomped out, slammed the door, got in his little truck, spin gravels out of the parking lot, and took off down the road. You know what I did? I got the keys to my car, stomped right out behind him, and fell right in behind him, followed him all the way home. Ain't you glad I ain't your pastor? I chased him. I just followed him right to the house. When I got there, he was out behind his house in the barn throwing hay to his old horse. I just struck up a conversation with him. I said, "Brother, I ain't going to call his name. You just want me to, wasn't you? I ain't going to." I said, "Brother, you really like them horses, don't you?" He said, "Yes, sir, I do." We talked about horses for a few minutes. His blood pressure started coming down. He's about halfway smiling from time to time. I said, "You know what? I think them horses out there on that prairie, out on the plain, them wild horses, they're so beautiful. Just wild and free. They're just gorgeous." Boy, he lit up. "Yeah, them's my favorites too. Them Mustangs. Just wild and free." And he built that thing way up. I said, "But you know what? The problem with them wild horses are they ain't good for nothing. All they do is take. And they don't give anything back." I said, they ain't fit for nothing until they learn to take a bit or a saddle or learn to pull a plow or a wagon. Come on, say amen. It's wild and free, boy, kicking, bucking, raring, swinging your head. I said, "Brother," you thought I was going to call his name again, didn't you? I said, "Brother, amen, you need to get that wild spirit off of you. Amen, quit kicking and bucking and slinging your head around. Come on, say amen. You need to learn to take the bit. You need to let the Lord break you. Come on here. I'm telling you, it wasn't long we was back at the house of God. You going to help me while I preach to you here? Amen, I don't want to be known as that feller that takes and takes and takes without giving anything back in return. I'd like to be an asset to the Abundant Life Wholeness Church. I'd like to be an asset to the kingdom of God. Come on. I'd like to give something back. Amen. I'd like to be a blessing in somebody's life." Lift your hands right here and pray, "Lord, make me a blessing. Lord, make me a blessing." Hallelujah. What we are on the inside is going to come through to the outside sooner or later. I've seen some folks, they're going to be remembered like this. Boy, wasn't he a mouthy one. I've seen evangelists, loud. I'm talking about even out in public. Can't go out to eat with them. They're the center of attention. Ringing bells, blowing horns and whistles. Look at me, I'm here. Come on now.
I don't want to be remembered like that. I've seen some that are talebearers, that are gossipers, whisperers, backbiters, that rather have bad news to tell than no news at all. Come on, say amen. Always spreading something, always talk. Listen, amen. Now, Brother Buchanan and I hardly ever talk on the phone. Matter of fact, I hardly talk on the phone with anybody. And some of them I just refuse to answer. Thank God for caller ID. Somebody shout amen right there. You know why I don't answer some of them? I got tired of saying hello. And on the other end, the first words I heard was, have you heard? Come on now. Have you heard? Come on, say amen. I got a big enough job tending my own garden. Come on, say amen. Trying to take care of my own vineyard. Can you say amen right here? Amen. I ain't got time to take care of mine and everybody else's too. I'd like for somebody to say, you know, that was a godly man. I remember him. Come on now. Hey, I, listen, if my name is never in the Holiness Messenger, if I never preach big camp meetings across the country, if we don't get to build another church in West Africa, I'd like for somebody to say, you know, that man was a Christian worker. Come on, say amen. He was a dedicated disciple of King Jesus. Come on. He was a follower of Christ. Amen. You know what? I don't want my memory to be smudged by selfishness and self-will and sin. Come on now. Amen. I'd like my memory to be like a lighthouse, a beacon long after I'm gone that's still sending out a light. Amen. That says this is the right way. This is the good way. Come on now. I'm telling you, somebody's going to have something to say about you when you leave this world. What are they going to say about you? Amen. Tried to get them to pray. Never would pray. Tried to get them to the house of God. Never would come to the house of God. God saved folks all around them in an effort to try and get them on His side, and they never would pay any attention to the love of God. Now the Bible said Dorcas, amen, was full of good works and alms deeds, which she did. Her good works is who she was. That's right. Now I've already said it wasn't a put on like Ananias and Sapphira. It was real like Barnabas. Come on now. Amen. As a matter of fact, Tabitha Dorcas is the female version of Barnabas in my mind. She, Barnabas was the son of consolation. He brought comfort and cheer everywhere he went. He was always in the shadows, never in the limelight. He was always number two man and never number one man. Amen. But that's where God placed him. That's where God put him. And God left Barnabas to you and I as an example to every brother in this building. Who's a number two man? Barnabas set a high mark for us to live up to. Can you say amen? Amen. Tabitha Dorcas was that kind of woman for the female. I found out something very interesting when I began to dig into this. You know what I seen? Amen. Luke called her a certain disciple. That's one long Greek word. I can't pronounce it. I ain't going to try it. When I looked it up, it's one long Greek word, which means a female disciple. And it's the only time, it's very interesting to me. This is the only time in the entire New Testament that this certain disciple is used for a woman. Come on now. Mary, the mother of Jesus, they didn't use that word for her. Mary Magdalene didn't get that word tagged on her. Mary and Martha, they didn't get that word tagged on her, on them. Come on, say amen. Even little Rhoda, amen, that recognized Peter when he was knocking on the door, she didn't get the certain disciple name put on her. Could it be that, as a matter of fact, I think it's pretty evident that she was so committed that Luke couldn't just call her a follower of Jesus Christ or a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ, but he called her a certain disciple. circle. Come on now. Don't you get sideways with me. I feel like, amen, in Luke's mind, listen, he's inspired by the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost did this for a purpose, for a reason. It never said she preached a message. Never said she pastored a church. She didn't run things at Joppa. Come on. She didn't have the spirit of Jezebel. She had the spirit of God living inside of her. And Luke said, a certain disciple, he said she's just as close as Peter or James or John or the Apostle Paul. Come on now. Amen. A certain disciple, praise God. Dorcas, that main name means gazelle or deer, something beautiful, something delicate. Amen. Something fragile. But it was not her looks that made her Dorcas so beautiful. It was her good works. It was what she did, amen, among the saints of God that made her such a beautiful person. Some of the most beautiful people in this world are right here in the Holiness Church. Come on now. It ain't because CoverGirl made them beautiful, amen, or they had the plastic nose put in, Botox cheeks. Come on now. That ain't what made them beautiful. Amen. The Bible said he beautifies the meek with salvation. It's the blood. It's the bloody cross they went to and died. That's what made them beautiful. Come on, say amen. Oh, a certain disciple. Wouldn't you like for the Lord to look down from his lofty throne in glory and say, I am pleased with him. I am pleased with her. Come on now. How many knows God's keeping a record? Yeah, but listen, one day we're going to be judged by the deeds that was done in our body, whether they be good or whether they be evil. That's what the Bible said. Somewhere in heaven, there's a scribe writing it all down. He's writing your story down. He's writing mine down. Come on, say amen. I'm telling you, I'd like to think, amen, there's been a time or two, I hope, when the Lord could say, well done. He's doing it just like I called him to. He's doing it just like I desired him to. Hey, I feel like the songwriter, there's been some times I passed, but there's been some times I failed. Come on now. But thanks be unto God. Amen. That he's a God of second chances. Amen. He'll allow you to make a U-turn and go back, get a do-over and get it right. Can you help me while I preach to you? Thank God, everybody in this building, amen, can put their hand to the plow and become more like Dorcas. There's holding them coats, Brother Buzz. Them garments that she made, and there's weeping. And there's mourning. They missed Mama Tabitha, Mama Dorcas. Boy, she left a great big hole in the congregation. Now, some folks have left, and boy, you're glad they've gone, ain't you? Some of them didn't die. They just got in the car and left, never came back. We almost felt like shouting the very next service. Come on, say amen. The Bible said, where there is no talebearer, the strife ceaseth. Come on now. Was nobody stirring up strife, stirring up trouble? Was a great burden that lifts up off the church. I'm telling you, when you got just a small congregation like this, it don't take but one throwing wood on the fire to keep that thing alive and burning. Come on, say amen. Sister Teague and I, we've actually bragged on y'all. We've talked about y'all. Your ears might have been burning this week. I don't know, but it's a different kind of a place here at Abundant Life Holiness Church. I don't know if other folks have this. This is one of those rare places that you can come to. Listen, I preached in a lot of churches. I don't know if it's because I know y'all so good. Most of you, some of you I ain't never seen before this week. That's a good thing. A church is growing, but I know some of you very personally, and I have for years. Come on now. But it seemed like when you walk in the door and the service gets started, amen, it's just as much the feeling of a family as it is a congregation. Come on, say amen. Now, some folks would say, easy, old Teague, it's going to get cultish if you keep on right there. But I'm telling you, we are the family of God. Come on now. Hey, listen, I'm not ashamed to tell you. I wish I didn't have to say it. Amen. In one way, but I'm not ashamed to say it. I'm closer to a lot of my church family than I am my own flesh and blood family. Come on, help me right here. Amen. Listen, when I get around them, they want to talk about the Super Bowl. I don't know nothing about it. You're going to help me right here? They want to talk about, amen, what country singers in concert over at the Coliseum. I don't know nothing about that stuff. Amen. They want to talk about the world, and I want to talk about the Word. Come on. I want to talk about the power of God and the grace of God. You going to help me while I preach? Hey, listen. It ought to be like a family, and that's the way it is right here. But I come to preach to you. Amen. You don't know what you've got till it's gone. Amen. Strive to be like Dorcas. Go out of your way to be a blessing to somebody else. You know what the Bible said? The Bible said it's more blessed to give than it is to receive. You can be a wild horse in the sanctuary. I know some folks come to church just to get their light bill paid every couple of months. I've met folks, I'm convinced, now they didn't just come right out and say it, but I'm convinced they're going to that church because that church got a big food pantry. They can get their groceries free every month. Come on now. Shame on us. We ought to be givers instead of takers. Amen. The Bible said He's made us the lender and not the borrower. Come on, say amen. Praise God. Our Father owns a cattle on 1,000 hills. Can you say amen right here? Ain't you glad for that? I want to be more like Dorcas. I want to be more like Tabitha, full of good works and alms deeds, which she did. And I want somebody to have something good to say when old Brother Teague leaves this world. Maybe I'm too young to be thinking like that. I ain't planning on going anywhere anytime soon. I'm really looking forward to leaving the same time all of you do when the Lord Himself descends from heaven with a shout. Come on now. But if I should leave this world in an untimely fashion, amen, I'd like for somebody to be able to have something good to remember about me. Amen. Come on, wouldn't you? Wouldn't you? What are they going to say about you? Stand with me, would you, all over this place. I got a bunch of sad stories I could tell, and I could talk to you about people who left and never got back, and teenagers who died terrible, horrific deaths. And I could tell you all them stories, you know, that evangelists have gathered up through the years to try and get folks to pray. But I don't feel like that's needful. I just wanted to ask you. Now, you know better than anybody else, what are they going to say about you? What are they going to say about you? Last night we looked in the mirror. Amen. When you looked into that mirror, what did you see? That's what everybody else is seeing. What do they see when they look at you? Come on now. Amen. You know, a lot of people, I've tried to work hard to fight the stereotype. A lot of people think full-time preachers just full-time preachers because they're too lazy to work. Come on now. Amen. If you don't think it's work, just come follow me around for a while. Amen. But I ain't here to toot my own horn. But I've tried to be careful to raise them boys to understand that if a man don't work, he don't eat. It's what the Bible said. And you're going to be remembered. You're going to be known for something. I have met people who are so out of balance. So out of balance. They're so strict on this little thing or that little thing. They're so liberal and so loose on personal things like integrity, character. Come on, say amen. If you say I'm going to do it, you ought to do it. If you ain't going to do it, you shouldn't say it. That's character. That's integrity. Come on now. If you make a promise, I'm going to pay it, then you ought to pay it. Don't try to wiggle out of it. If you ain't got no more sense than to run up $30,000 in credit card debt, don't file bankruptcy to wiggle out of it and start all over again. Just swallow hard, put one foot in front of the other. Pay what you owe. If it's $50 a month, just pay it. Do the best you can. You're a Christian, child of God. What are they going to say about you? I've seen folks I'll never go out to eat with again if the Lord will help me and give me grace to say no. Because every time I've been out to eat with them, the food's never right. Overcooked, undercooked. Waitress, they're always getting on the waitress. Come on now. I've been out to eat with people and just to be a smart aleck, they've left 50 cents on the table for a tip. That little girl, they run to death, back, forth, back, fill up my tea. I need some more tea. Shake her cup of ice. Come on now. I don't have time to mess with people like you. I don't want to be around them kind of people. Come on, say amen. I want people to see Jesus in me. I want them to see Jesus, His patience, His long suffering, His kindness, His gentleness. What are they going to say about you? I've been a slow learner, and I got a hard head sometimes, and it takes it a while to get through. When I was down there pastoring that church, we was in a project. We was going to paint the outside of the church, paint the eaves of the church, and so we had a men's work day. And we all come together, all the men. I got all the men together, and we talked about it. And it's general consensus. We all decided, I mean, it's just a general decision. We're going to be there at 7 o'clock. Going to meet at 7. We're going to get on this thing Saturday morning at 7. And we're going to get it done before the sun goes down. Well, you know what happened. Along about 10:30, here come the smart aleckest man in the church, wiping sleep out of his eyes and his hair sticking all up in every direction, sipping on his cup of coffee. We all soaked with sweat, done been there since 7 o'clock trying to get it done. He comes shuffling up with his coffee in his hand in his pocket. He got to looking. He said, if I was y'all, I wouldn't do it like this. I tell you how I do it. I say, wait just a minute. Come on now. I was trying to be a sanctified man. I said, you come shuffling in here 10:30, sucking on your coffee, with sleep in your eyes, and your old hair sticking up everywhere. We've been here since 7 o'clock. Look at us. Filthy, sweaty. We the ones been here working. Now, probably the best thing for you to do is get in that little truck and head back to the house. Ain't you glad I don't pastor you? Come on now. That's just how I seen it. Hey, he swallowed hard and said, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. And he put his coffee down. Ain't it amazing how there's always one in every crowd? But if I can help it, if God will help me, I don't want to be that one. I don't want to be that one. I don't want to be that one. I'd like to tell you I've done everything right. I hadn't. I'd like to tell you I've never made any mistakes. I hadn't. And I'd like to tell you I've never offended anybody. And I've always said things right the way they ought to be said. I cannot tell you that. I'd like to even tell you there's never anybody that I've ever run off, hurt their feelings. I probably can't say that. I can't go back and redo any of that stuff. But I can be a better man from here on. Come on now. I can try to do it better from here on. I'm trying my best to grow up. Mature. Let Jesus mature me. Come on, say amen. What are they going to say about you? Come on, let's gather in around these altars. Everybody that will, let's find us a praying place. Let's ask the Holy Ghost to send us a personal revival. Lord, we need more than just a revival in our church or our community or our nation. We need a revival in our heart. We need a revival in us. Start revival in me, Lord. Won't you pray it just like that? Start revival in me. What are they going to say about you? Come on, let's talk to the Lord about this for a little while tonight. In Jesus' name.